Hi, Simon here. My new book, Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, is now available for pre-order as an ebook and audiobook on Amazon and at Barnes & Noble. This book shares many incredible near-death experiences, each with verifiable proof that challenges everything we think we know about consciousness and the afterlife. In the book, individuals whose hearts had stopped and whose brains had flatlined saw things that were later verified. Things they should not have been able to see, because by all medical understanding, they were dead. These are real stories, backed by real evidence, that will make you question what lies beyond. If you're fascinated by near-death experiences and mysteries of life and death, pre-order your copy today. Again, that's Verified Near-Death Experiences, Proof of an Afterlife, available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Welcome to Our Paranormal Afterlife. This is episode 167 of Paranormal Stories. This episode I'm reading from Galadriel Crump's book, What Have You Learned? Demystifying My Childhood NDE. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to start reading from a point just when the near-death experience started, and this is what Galadriel has written. Now that I was wide awake, I thought to myself that Mum doesn't need to wake me anymore. What's she cooking? With that thought, I found myself quickly moving through the floor, walls and ceiling into the kitchen, where I stood directly behind my mother. I thought that was so cool. It was delightful to find myself having this ability to get anywhere I wanted with such speed and accuracy. I wondered how I unlocked this new ability. Could everyone do this and had just been too lazy? There was my mother, standing over the oven with television chatter faintly streaming into the kitchen, where she watched pots boil. I noticed glowing light or energy around her body. It was not very bright, but it was there. It intrigued me and I moved closer, asking in my mind what she's up to. No sooner did I ponder this than I heard her thoughts. She might as well have said them out loud. It was as if she was chanting, "Make food, go watch TV, make food, go watch TV." Hearing her thoughts was paired with the feeling and knowing that she was being true to self and honest. I could feel her emotions, a sense of both peace and attentiveness as she was fully engaged in the flow state as she cooked. I thought that was lovely. After hearing what my mother was thinking and feeling, I wondered what my father was thinking and feeling. With this thought, I had the intention to step outside and run to the barn, but instead felt myself almost dash forwards or dart through the kitchen, through the boot room, across the snow-covered driveway, through the closed door of the barn, and stopped directly behind my father, who was on one knee hooking the milking machine to one of our Jersey cows. I did all of that without feeling my legs move. I had moved so fast I could barely make out what anything was on either side of me, though I knew where I had to have gone through if I were to have made it here. Seeing in spirit is not like sight in the human body experience. In spirit, we can see all around us at once. We can choose to focus on one or a few things at a time. I didn't feel the need to say anything as I stood, or unknowingly floated, behind my father. His energy seemed to fluctuate in colours and strength. During this observation, I felt his worry, pity, and shame. Out of curiosity, I got close enough and intently listened to his chaotic and overloaded mind. Some of those thoughts were the feeling of love he had for his children, as well as his fear and shame in losing control and being a bad father. What was felt most strongly was how ashamed of himself he was. I had so much love and pity for my father in this moment and embraced him. Again, I couldn't feel my arms, but I did notice that I had a blue energy that seemed brighter than my mother's or father's. He did not seem to notice my hug or hug me back. This was pretty normal, to say the least. He suffered a terrible childhood himself, and oftentimes my hugs would go unnoticed if he was lost in thought. After the hug, I heard his thoughts say, "Gelly?" And he looked to his side. After a pause, he returned to thinking, and this time his thoughts were more positive. This made me feel content enough to continue exploring. I'm uncertain why or how I heard their present moment thoughts. All I knew was, as I listened to these thoughts and intentions, I would then sense their emotions and feelings that fueled the said thoughts. I glanced around the barn to the animals and noticed my sister giving extra hay to the cows. In regards to my sister's energy, I feel it important to note that her interaction with the animals made the energy around her body brighter for some reason. The animals each had different energies around their bodies as well. The colours were bright like mine and consisted mostly of white, but within the white was perhaps the colour gold. This filled me with a sense of unexplainable security. My sister's energy was fluctuating around her just like my father's was. The colours around her body, though, fluctuating in strength, were still brighter than my father's. She was not someone I wanted to be close to in waking life. We competed for attention from our parents and she would often triumph. Regardless of how much unconditional love I had within me, I still felt the need to play the inauthentic role of the defiant and quiet child. Therefore, I did not care to get a sense of what she was thinking or feeling, and moved on exploring. Seeing as how everyone seemed in decent moods, I decided to go back to the house and sit in my room until dinner was ready. Again, with that thought, I quickly glided back inside the house and up to my room. I stared at the journals and toys spread out across the floor, leading up to my bed. The bed? There was a young girl curled up in my bed. I moved closer and thought that she looked peaceful. Something seemed wrong, though. Everyone I observed had energy around them. Why did her energy not show up at all? My inquiries stopped there. I knew I did not have the answers. The knowing came to me that if I was to explore more, I would find answers. Turning my attention away from the body in the bed, I embraced the ever-present moment and curiously looked out of my bedroom window. The moon shone bright with deep, distinct hues of blue, magenta, and white, which permeated the snow. With the intention of wanting to see the sparkling snow up close, I felt myself move straight through the bedroom wall down to the snow. Unexpectedly, my curiosity of seeing the sparkles up close led me to become one with the snow. I say this because different coloured particles danced around me, popping in and out. It was as if I had shrunk down to the same size as the particles. The only thing I can relate this imagery to is that kind of colourful glitter on white paper. The way that waves of light hit glitter and make it sparkle is similar to the way these particles would rapidly pop in and out all around me. Unsure how long I was lost in this world of colourful, playful particles, I pulled my attention out and off of the snow and focused on the skyline above. How I wish I could capture in words the magnificence of the deep hues of blue, magenta, green, yellow, orange, red, white, and more that filled the unpolluted country night sky. Gratitude and appreciation welled within my being. Out of nowhere, the memory of Wallace and Gromit's episode where they ate cheese together on the moon crossed my mind. I looked up to the moon again and wondered what it is like to live on the moon. What happened next was that I began to move in a direct line towards the moon. Everything warped around me in a wormhole-like fashion. I was moving so quickly that it seemed like I was in a tunnel. I believe I was travelling like this for a few seconds longer than when I was roaming around the farm in this same state of existence. If I were to compare travel times, I would say moving around the farm was almost instantaneous, whereas heading to where I assumed was the moon's surface took several notable seconds to a whole minute. I began seeing a light at the end of this warped tunnel. I wanted to go into the light, and here I found myself standing on what I presumed to be the moon. All I remember was thinking how bright and white the moon is. It's like daytime. Perplexed, I gained my wits back and realised I was in a crater. This crater was huge. As exciting as it was to be on the moon, I realised there wasn't much fun to be had. I wondered where else I could go and explore. Before I could think of anything else, I felt the presence of someone or something near me. Chapter 2, The Big Three. Turning my attention around, I saw three enormous beings made of blue and white light or energy. The energy flowed up and down their bodies, and bright white light came up around them and flowed throughout them. Some of their energy flowed out of their huge human body form, out of their backs and sides, in the form of what could only be described as wing-like, but they were not wings. To put these beings' size into perspective, I was standing in a crater on the moon, and these beings could sit on the top of the crater and their legs touch the bottom. I did not notice if they had feet. It appeared that they were made of energy, and the way the energy flowed made it look as if they were wearing robes. The feeling I had in the presence of these beings was like that of standing at the feet of honourable royalty, somehow knowing that these beings were powerful enough to control the cosmos, but loving enough to reach out and guide lost spirits such as myself. Today I was reading from Galadriel Crump's book, What Have You Learned? Demystifying My Childhood NDE. And if you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/ourparanormalafterlife or click on the button on my homepage, pastliveshypnosis.co.uk. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.